show is that the department now owns and manages the only dairy in the state, two slaughterhouses, the biggest grain reserve in the state. And so what you have here is a whole new function that has taken place over the last 12 months that is not reflected in the way that we do business and who we have to do business. So what we have been doing in the last month and a half is a whole new functional analysis of this division. We are also requesting an entire review of our classification so we can begin to move people around and have the people that we need in the places that we need. And this chart in another 2 or 3 months is going to look entirely differently. We have been, since last year, funding some of the positions out of the ARLF revolving fund. And that was on the advice of OMB. We are in agreement with Representative Brown that positions should not be funded out of ARLF. However, if that practice is stopped right now, while we're in the middle of this restructuring position, it's going to seriously deplete whatever else is left. We do not have a marketing division in the Department of Agriculture. We have two people with marketing titles who are spending most of their time doing contract review work. We have right now, when you take a look at your chart, almost a total wipeout of the support for the Plant Material Center, which is the support to the successful farmers. We have also almost a total wipeout of the two people who are doing marketing even part-time, and a total wipeout of the development specialists who are doing all the contract work. This state has 570 contracts with individual farmers. Only about 70 of those contracts are project farmers, you know, the one we all hear about with the debt load. The rest of those 500 farmers are doing very well. But the kinds of contracts this state has written in the past require individual assistance to each of these people. They're scattered all over the state, and we've had two people providing that assistance. Wipes out the Fairbanks office. It wipes out the Palmer office doing that kind of contract work. What it leaves pretty much intact is the loan function for the ARLF that we would like to change anyway and have credit managers in there instead of loan examiners. We don't need loan examiners anymore. We need highly capable technical people who are able to do credit manager type of work. The message I would like to get across is that we are trying to accomplish the changes that I see reflected in Representative Brown's amendments. However, the amendments themselves, the effect of the amendments will be right now to make things worse rather than solve the problem. I'm asking for a year, this next session, and leaving things as they are now so that we can rework the problem. I would welcome legislative intent language, reinforcing the need for functional analysis, for classification review, for a recommendation from the ARLF board and the farming groups as to which positions should legitimately be funded out of the ARLF funds, and I think you will find that those groups would endorse a true marketing section. Because it adds to their ability to perform. I think that you would find that they would endorse an entire plant management section so we can provide support to the slaughterhouses and the Matanuska Maid and those other major industries that we have involved millions of dollars involved in, and right now we're managing on an ad hoc basis. We're using our marketer, we're using our deputy director that we lost anyway. We're using everybody we can use in this chart to perform functions that aren't even on the chart. We cannot afford to lose five of the positions that we're going to lose now. So if the intent really is to stop using the ARLF fund right now, then I would also ask that you consider putting that $300,000 back in general fund money. But what I really request is that you give us this time to revamp and refocus this entire division.
I think there there are members of the committee that look at the diversification of our natural resources, and we've all supported agriculture. But when we look at the delinquent rate of the loans, as we ask ourselves, and they're in the neighborhood of over 70% are in delinquent, and we ask ourselves, should we be in agriculture? And, you know, I'd like a response from you on that. Should we be in agriculture? With all the money that we have supported farmers throughout the state of Alaska, perhaps since we started the program, we could have put a potato in front of every Alaskan every day up to now, and maybe into the future, instead of doing agriculture. And probably I will still continue to support the agricultural funding sources. But out of this, how many are successful farmers and out of this delinquent rate that we presently have?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, let me separate out project farmers from the, which is Delta, Point McKenzie, from the contract farmers scattered throughout the rest of the state. As a matter of fact, probably we should have put more money into potato farming because that happens to be the most successful segment of our, that's where we didn't put money, and they're the most successful. We believe that the Delta and the Delta project, that the ultimate success rate, number of farmers, is going to be about half what they are now. We believe at Point McKenzie that you're going to get a two-thirds success rate. The we do not intend to dump any more large sums of money into development loans. In the last month and a half since the new director has been on board, we have developed a new ARLF debt restructuring program, a new loan policy that is going to end up in support for those farmers who can't pay back. We have to turn the ARLF fund into a true revolving fund. There should not be any more money siphoned into that from the general fund, which means we are only going to be making loans to those people that have payback potential. There are going to be foreclosures. There are going to be foreclosures in areas that people here represent, as a matter of fact. But there also is going to be, we think, at the end of this process, a healthy agricultural sector that is not held up by subsidized with money from the state. And that's what we're moving toward. We're moving toward moving the risk back to the private sector. The government no longer has to carry it. And we have a new, as I said, we have a new debt policy. We have a new ARLF board that will be announced in the next week. We think that we have made giant steps forward in the last 65 days. We are not going to solve it before the end of this session, so that I could give you a comfort level there. The problem is we have lots of money out and bad loans. And we are going to try to work with those people who can make it, and we're going to cut our losses where we can't.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think just a couple of general questions here. And so I have to find out really where we're at. As I told Representative Brown a little while ago, after the end of the Civil War at the Battle of Appomattox, even General Grant allowed the Confederate troops to take their horses home so they could do some spring plowing. Well, that was in April of 1865. I'm wondering if we completely delete here the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, whether there will be enough money available for the farmers this year to buy seeds to do their spring planting. Would that $3.5 million that would be left in the account, as I understand, be sufficient? And also my second question would be, the development loan that we're talking about, would those be developments of farm plans that we require those farmers to do, or would that be something new?
Representative Larson, the first, there would be enough for spring planting loans. There would not be enough for chattel loans or some of the development loans that we require in our contracts for them to do. We are changing our position on development loans, however, and as a matter of fact, on grain loans as well. And that is that we are setting pretty tough standards for collateral and pretty tough payback standards. There are going to be farmers that can't meet those standards, and they are going to end up having to walk away. This is going to be a real hard year for a lot of people because we are going to cut our losses. We do need the money out there to support those people who show the ability to pay back. We have been concentrating very heavily on the bad debt, but we have an awful lot of people who are producing and hiring people and putting new money into the state, and we need to continue to support those people. That's what we're going to try to do with this division, is structure it so that we have a real strong credit management team that deals with shaky debt. And we're going to start moving people around so we can begin and moving, focusing on giving support to those farmers that are successful. I would like to see a real strong marketing emphasis. The $300,000 that is being proposed to being pulled this year from ARLF should, in my opinion, be an entire, that's what we should be spending on marketing, period. Right now we've got it spread over all kinds of things. We are very weak in marketing and very weak in support of farmers who are doing a good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a note that we did place intent language into the department for the department to take a look at the functions of the Department of Agriculture, Division of Agriculture, and see what functions could be transferred. And I appreciate your commitment to addressing those concerns, Mr. Brady. I guess the question I have is with more specific to the default rate that was mentioned of the 73% and of the farmers, I guess, that have loans, and you mentioned the fact that those aren't all the farmers that you deal with, that there's around 570 farmers. Now, how many of those farmers, those 570 farmers that you deal with, which that includes all of them, I guess, the successful ones and the non-successful, how many of those that you have working relationships with are also have loans with the department? What's the total number of farmers that have loans?
There's about 300 farmers that have loans with the department. And most of those are year-to-year operating loans. They're using it like any farm group uses a cooperative, and they're paying back. Where you're getting your large delinquency percentages is, and when you see things like 70%, what they're really talking about is project loans. We have about a 70% in Delta, for instance. You know, the state cleared 100,000 acres in Delta of, and last year they planted 6,000.
We have, so the project loans is the default, or the loans that are in default, it's not
yes.
The year-to-year loans.
It's not across the board.
And those, the 300, the project loans, how many of those, that'd be 270 farmers that have project loans, and that, is that where the default rate is in those loans?
Primarily. Actually, you have fewer than that. You really only have about 70 project farmers, and that's where the big money is, and that's where your big default is, and that's where the hard decisions are going to have to be made.
I guess my last question, Mr. Chairman, has to do with the I don't have the exact figures here, but the proposed cut by Representative Brown is approximately. Mm-hmm. Approximately $1 million, and of that $1 million, $360 of that is actually used by the $331 is used for
funding positions
within your department.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. We've got a lot to cover, so I don't want to slow things down, but first of all, I guess I come at this something of a having some strong feelings on behalf of private sector capitalism and the ability of all components in the marketplace to compete without government subsidy. And in my own area and in this project, I guess, we've seen some of the failures of government in trying to intervene in the private sector. And it's my understanding of the philosophy of the department under your leadership that you also share a positive approach to an independent and competitive private sector. So I'd like to ask you if you would. I understand the problems with the loans, and those are not problems which, those are problems which you in fact did inherit and now have to try to deal with. That's something that seems very separate in my mind, from the constitutional responsibilities of the Division of Agriculture. Nonetheless, as a member of the subcommittee on DNRLS for the last 2 years, I did support the program, hoping that we would see some sort of way out, so to speak, or a positive outcome. At the same time, I became confronted with my constituents, one of whom grows potatoes in Gustavus, unsubsidized. Unfortunately, the cost of moving his potatoes to Juneau is about the same price as you pay for potatoes in the store, so he got out of the potato business, went into the tourism business. Then we have the soil conservation and cooperative extension type activities, the first of which is clearly in the jurisdiction of the department, the second of which in most states is a university function or a federal function. So putting those matters aside, I was wondering if you could share with me just briefly what you feel the role of the Division of Agriculture really is. I guess that really summarizes my question. Apart from the specific of how we manage the financing to address the problems which you've outlined, once it's all settled out, and once you've gotten out of your loan business and into your credit management business and put that component aside and so on, what do you think the Division of Agriculture is here to do? What is it that you need money for, not only in this budget, but in budgets over the next 3 years? What do you project as your goals?
The goals, my goals would be to get rid of another problem we inherited, which is move those facilities that are the infrastructure of the agricultural business in two or three parts of the state, we're the only state that owns the whole infrastructure, back into the private sector. That is going to mean either developing, and that's going to mean developing management that can work or selling it, and we're going to have to cut some losses to do that. I intend to have that done so that we're not in competition, and you can't use that argument on pricing. Then when you get down to can we make it work, having the specialists in the Plant Material Center, for instance, which sounds really boring, but it's really kind of exciting, those are the people who develop and work with farmers for strains that will be successful in different parts of the state, who work with soil analysis and the people who are actually growing things to see what grows best and how it grows and what do you need to get better crops and higher producing crops, to work with the development specialists and the who do the inspections to make sure that the meat that we're growing cattle that produce top level meat, quality meat, and that the things that we are producing are safe to eat and are of high quality. People are becoming, interestingly, with all this down stuff, people are thinking maybe we can do something again. They're getting kind of interested. The challenge is looking, beginning to look possible. I don't need very many people, but I need the right people.
Finally, Mr. Chairman, I share your excitement. I'm a graduate of the New York State College of Agriculture, and I find plant pathology and those issues very interesting, but is that basically where you feel we're headed into research and inspection? Is that the primary goals of the department in agriculture?
No. That function has to do with on-the-ground working and promoting with the people who hold state land contracts and the few who are on private land to help them with see market trends and help them develop those things that will... that they can sell the fastest. And that's where we have been most successful in the non-project areas. In the project areas, you know, as you know, we try to develop everything at the same time. An instant grain, for instance, in Delta, an instant grain economy. We have been most successful working in those areas where you're just increasing quality all the time and increasing market on sort of a sustained up yield basis. It's sort of like tourism, you know, where it grows 10% a year. We're actually in these non-project areas putting out about 10% more each year than we did the year before. We're putting out about $24 million worth of agriculture products right now.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown and Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have in front of me, Commissioner, a paper dated February 20th that starts out redetermination of the mission of the ARLF and goes on to talk about a plan for troubled debt restructuring. And I was wondering, what is the status of this proposal, and is it your intention to follow through with the recommendations that were taken out for public hearing, or you know, what became of that proposal?
The board and the new director met with the farming groups about 2 weeks ago, and discussed it in some detail. They came to the mutual decision that they had irreconcilable philosophical differences, mainly on how fast we could make this work. The board, the new director believes that the debt restructuring can be accomplished within a shorter time period than the board members believed, and they agreed to a parting that was a gentleman's agreement on both sides. And the main parts of the debt restructuring remained the same. That's the proposal that was adopted and will go forward. The main difference was on the policy decision. The board had recommended that no new development loans be made, and the director had asked that no loans be made to anybody if they couldn't repay. He was not as concerned about what kind of a loan it was as he was about the ability to repay. So in actual how it all turned out, I think they were real close. How they thought it should be done, they were split. And they decided that they needed to be able to work together, and so they decided that it was his prerogative to perhaps work with the new board.
Can I continue? Is it your intention to have a single objective set of criteria and to evaluate all people who are delinquent against that same set of criteria?
The objective is to be consistent in our application of criteria. The board has never had a single set of criteria because they're dealing with, right now, too many totally different situations. It's past the point where you could ever treat everybody the same because there's no sameness. There are certain criteria that have to be met by anybody in both proposals, and the criteria happens to be pretty close. Basic, you know, good credit criteria that has to be met, and that's what will be the consistent factor.
Representative Frank?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess it seems to me that we've got two kinds of issues before us. One, we have a question as to whether or not we should make a further cut in the division's budget at a time when they're trying to cope with increased delinquency. And then we have a choice of where we're going to cut the money from or where the money should come from to fund those things. And it seems like we're trying to confuse the two. I would agree with Representative Brown that we should probably not fund an operating program like this out of the Agriculture Revolving Fund. However, I think we don't want to lose sight of the necessary function that is being suggested to be cut out of this budget. And it seems to me that when we have a function like this, the subcommittee reviewed the budget, and I wanted to ask Representative Davis if they did review this function when they were meeting in subcommittee, and what obviously their recommendations were not to cut these out, that they were necessary, and just because they're funding them out of the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, which may be inappropriate, doesn't mean that those bodies and that function ought not to be there, and the job that they're doing be done.
Just a clarification, the First Amendment that we have right here is just the reduction of different revolving loan funds. The one on personnel is $331,000. That's in about page number 5, and we'll be getting to that and debating that here also. But would you respond, Representative Davis?
Representative Frank, let me just say that we didn't address the issue per se of the funding of those positions by the revolving loan fund. We didn't address that, but we I guess the thing that we responded to directly was the fact that there were some serious concerns about the management of the fund program and the need to address that. And we chose to put intent language in there that the department, in conjunction with the Commerce Department, look at the possibility of transferring those functions to a department that deals primarily with loans rather than one that has that as an adjunct thing rather than something they primarily are charged with as a responsibility. And that's the approach that we took on that. We didn't choose to go in and make any reductions in the delivery of services.
So, Mr. Chairman, then, what you're saying is that we are just debating the $1,083,000.
$1,038,000, that's what we're debating. And then we got the number there, $500,000 in the Power Development Fund. That's the debate. The debate as far as people and personnel is it's about five pages back, and it's $331,000.
Okay.
That'll be a different debate later.
Okay, let me just ask one question on that to clarify then from the commissioner. You're saying that, Commissioner, that the reduction in of this $1 million would mean that ongoing seasonal loans would still be allowed, but project-type loans, even including loans that may be maybe part of a workout situation would not be possible.
That's correct. We have a little problem with that, and we have there's a bill being proposed to take care of it. Right now, we don't have the ability to make changes in contracts. We have to foreclose if people are not fulfilling the letter of their contract. And part of ARLF's function is to provide the loan money to fulfill those contract requirements. We do not intend to make any further loans to people who can't repay on any basis, either for operating or for development.
Mr. Chairman, if I could continue this line a little bit. I know that when things go bad in the lending business, flexibility is very important, and sometimes, you know, it's always a question, are you going to throw good money after bad? And sometimes you make the decision to add additional dollars in an overall loan request because either a new borrower comes in and wants to acquire the assets of the existing loan, or the existing borrower can, through a restructuring plan that may require additional dollars, small amount maybe, may make sense. And I would hope that we would allow the department the flexibility to continue to make some of those that may ultimately save the borrower and save the state money rather than just a straight out foreclosure.
If in fact the $1 million is taken out, what is the balance of the agriculture revolving loan fund to make those necessary loans in the future?
The balance would be this year's appropriation would be $3 million.
Three and a half million.
But what we're trying to turn that we're not asking for more money.
So we are leaving some money in there to make those particular deals. It'll be an amount of $3.5 million, someplace in that neighborhood.
My concern is that would only be enough to cover the seasonal loans for the producing farmers. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Everything else is being stripped away.
Mr. Chairman, yes, on that point, the information we've gotten indicated that $1 million of that, roughly, was needed for protection of collateral. What is that exactly?
Representative Brown, that has to do with money that we are going to have to pump into the Matanuska Maid. Some of it goes into slaughterhouse money. Some of it goes into the feed and grain storage tanks that we have that are full of grain. We have money out there in big chunks for facilities that need some work. What we're hoping to do is to make this thing work so that we can have somebody else own them.
Thank you.
Griffin Larson, did you have?
Yeah,
Yes, thank you. I think Representative Frank was addressing my concerns there, that the money that would be left in would be enough to do the spring planting, but it wouldn't be enough to for the state to meet some other obligations that they have really made with the individual farmers in their development plans. And I think, if I understand this being the motion before us, Mr. Chairman, that, you know, I would move that we divide the question between the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund and the Ag Revolving Loan Fund.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify. Are you saying that we have an obligation to fund the farmers to fulfill their contracts? Just part of our actual obligation, or is this just the situation that the farmers find themselves in now that they don't have enough money to proceed with it? Do we actually agree that we would pay to fulfill all the terms of the contract?
Part of Representative Brown, part of the I had that question too, so I read the legislative history and the fund and legislative history again. The intent very obviously was that the ARLF fund would provide low-cost financing to farmers to meet the requirements of the development contracts, of the requirements that we imposed in development contracts. Part of the necessity for that is because we don't give fee title, as you know, when we give land with ag rights. And it's difficult for the farmers, in fact impossible, for them to put up the land as collateral. So when they have to buy cattle, or when they have to buy equipment, or when they have to buy grain, they almost have to come to us. It's like the old company store idea in coal mining towns, which wasn't very attractive then, and frankly is not very attractive now. We intend to move away from that kind of concept in various ways as much as we can.
So you're saying we're not legally obligated?
Well,
Mr. Chairman?
I would say if we tried to foreclose after denying somebody money to meet a contract obligation that we imposed on them, and they had the ability to repay, we might be into some problem. But there's nothing that says you have to give money.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and you might say that what we have already done is wrong, but really that isn't the question before us. No, I think it's fulfilling an obligation that has been made between the state and individuals. In order to qualify for the ag rights only on much of the land, there's a certain farm plan that has to be carried out, and that farm plan requires many different things upon the individual, from the amount of land they got to clear to when they plant the crops and how high they leave the stubble in the fall. And in order to have them do that, because they do not have fee simple title to the land, they can't go to the normal lending institutions. They have to turn to the Ag Revolving Loan Fund. So in order for them to carry that out, we have basically said that you get the land, you develop it, and those are your obligations, and the obligations then that the state has is to provide these certain things along the way. And I know everything's always subject to a legislative appropriation, but if we're not legally bound, when we made that contract, we sure are morally. And we can say we were wrong in doing that, but nonetheless, we haven't done anything to remove that responsibility, so what I'm saying is that we still have it.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to, say this one thing, that we are in total agreement with your concerns about the amount of money going out, who it goes out to, and the payback potential. And we are totally committed to that, regardless of whether you're calling it, you know, what kind of a loan you're calling it. We are totally committed to not giving any more money out unless there is a demonstrated ability to do some repaying.
The only question I have is, do you expect, besides the loan amount that has been stated here, do you expect any program receipts to come in from past agriculture revolving loans?
Yes, we do.
How much?
I don't have any idea. Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I don't know how much.
Is there any further questions? Thank you. There was a request by Representative Larson to divide the question. One would be on under line 26, and the other one would be under the
box 17.
Line 17. Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just would like to understand before I don't think I have an objection, but I'd like to understand why they weren't divided to begin with. Just a clerical thing, or
no.
Was there an intention, or what?
It because it was all encompassed in section number 18, and that's the reason. It's the various loans, but there is no problem in dividing the question.
I have no objection.
Okay. The first one we'll take up, and it's on the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund. Roll call vote, please. No?
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Could I have a clarification?
Yes, just a minute. I'm sorry. What we're doing is changing the new number here. Would you do the roll call over, please? We're dividing the question. It's changing the two numbers. It's taking 500,000 away from the Power Development Loan Fund. Would you please?
A yes vote will make the change, yep. A no vote won't. Okay.
Would you restate the change over, please?
Adams?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
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 Frank?
Yes.
Gall? Larson?
Yes.
Rochelle?
Yes.
Rieger?
Yes.
Blackhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
Yes.
Motion passes. The next one is on line number 17. It's changing the number of the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund in the amount of $1,038,000. Roll call vote, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Davis?
No.
Frank?
No.
Gall?
Yes.
Larson?
No.
Rochelle?
Yes.
Rieger?
No.
Blackhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
Yes.
Motion passes. That takes care of section number 18. Section number 19 is there was a change by the administration. Thank you. We're going to call you up again when we get to personnel. It's a, and
oh, all right.
Okay, please. It used to be $414,200 at the request of the department. They only need $314,200. That's why you see it in there. I don't think there's nobody has an objection to that. Section number 20, we debated this in the Department of Laws budget. It's basically where we're basically putting the $9 million here for oil and gas litigation. Does anybody have any comments or suggestions on this? Section number 21 is there's a technicality there. You need to eliminate the gas after oil. It should read oil and hazardous substance in two different places, and that gas needs to be eliminated there. Representative Davis, do you concur?
That yes, was, sir.
Okay. That, no objection, that will be done. Starting off with the first page as far as the...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry, I had one last question on the front section before you...
Yes, continue, please. I'm sorry.
The I would like an explanation. Mr. Hogan's still here. What is the rebate fund referred to in Section 11?
At this time, the chair calls up Jay Hogan. Mr. Hogan, this is one of the new sections that has been added in the front section. We're debating on page number 2, section 11, starting on line 17 through 21. Did you hear the question from Representative?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Jay Hogan, Director of Budget Review. Number 11 is a casualty, if you will, of the Tax Reform Act and other certain provisions. Basically, issuers of bonds now have to keep an account to pay the federal government, pay the Internal Revenue Service, penalties, if you will, on arbitrage earnings. So this is one of what will become many such responsibilities of the state as more and more issues are provided for. In this particular case, the International Airport Revenue Fund is customarily appropriated annually, and so The rebate provisions must come before you in an appropriation. But in discussing this matter with the treasurer, apparently the same will apply for ADA or other issues of the state. It's just that you won't see them in this format since the ADA numbers customarily are outside the budget. So that's basically what it is, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I follow. I think this is the same rebate we were talking about in the arbitrage earnings on student loans and all. So I follow. That's fine.
Okay. Is there anything else in the front section? One of the things is it's in this packet, you have a number of amendments that we'll go through, and then you've got amendments to the amendments packet that's on this. And then I'll try to keep these together. On the front section, the first ones, we've taken care of both of those by Brown and Boyer. The first one we're going to come to is the Office of the Governor. We have one under the Executive Office. It was to add $95,000 at the request of the Governor for an interim commission on children's and youth. We debated this, that perhaps there was going to be some federal funds come in the HES budget, which are not forthcoming. And it was the feeling of the members that perhaps some money should be added for this interim commission on children and youth. Representative Pershaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a proposed new initiative by the governor to have a fairly large citizens group. By the way, the appointments are being made apparently this weekend or this coming week, and also include some legislators apparently to work during the interim and reviewing state programs and other programs relating to children and youth throughout the state. We've looked through the proposed budget for that children's task force. It does include a couple of full-time coordinators and substantial travel, like monthly meetings at 3 days at a time. And I guess it's my feeling, Mr. Chairman, that while I support the Interim Commission on Children and Youth and feel that we should proceed with it, that the amount of money could be reduced and still have a satisfactory effort in this regard. And I would propose, rather than the numbers that you see, I would move that, for purposes of an amendment, that the line there, the first line on page 14, the Governor's Office budget, where it's 08, that 45 be changed to 15.0, and then the general fund number would be 4802.0, and then this would provide, the amendment would add $65,000 rather than $95,000 for the Interim Commission on Children and Youth.
I take that you move that particular number?
Yes.
There's objection. Representative Rieger.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing is that I don't see how it adds up. We're increasing general funds by $65,000. And decreasing line 8 by whatever that adds up to, 85,000.
Coincides to the 50,000 reduction in ANWR, which was another proposed add-on to this component of the executive office. So it's minus 50 plus 65.
Got it.
Well, we'll make the numbers work.
I'll defer to the math.
They work.
I got it.
Okay. Objection removed?
Yes.
Okay. The next one is a reduction there under Telecommunications Department of Administration under RATNET. This is sponsored by Representative Davis. It's a reduction there of approximately $196,500 based on recent review by Department of Administration. Last comment, other costs associated. Representative Davis?
That's correct. Mr. Chairman, I have one change that I'd like to make on this, and let me just pass it out. But it's basically what this would do, what I'd like to do here, and I apologize. I just got this information here last day. And what I'd like to do on this, if I could, Mr. Chairman, as you said, this information is we got from Department of Administration, and basically what we found out is there's a reduction in the charges, and that's a reflection in these columns. And what I'd like to do is propose on line 2 there to reduce that back to 40,000 and add into the central and statewide services an addition of 35,400. We checked with the department, and there was a reduction in the that division in Fairbanks and Anchorage, and the governor's amended version restored the position in Anchorage, but not in Fairbanks. That person in Fairbanks is a position is scheduled to be laid off, and actually, I think that we talked to the division, and they would support an addition there. There will be no net increase. In fact, there will still be a net reduction of approximately 15,000.
We have two separate proposals before us. We're working with the one that is before you. I will be more than happy to vote up or down on the second one, which is a different component, and we're taking up telecommunications at this particular time.
Correct.
Okay.
There will be a no increase to the Department Administration's budget. In fact, it will be still a net decrease.
Members here realize that, yes.
I just want to make sure that's not it.
Okay. Is there any objections to the reductions there in RATNET? No objections, that sort of. Representative Davis, I am ready for the second one. That's
okay. I move that we then, Mr. Chairman, that reduction then should show, instead of 90,000, should show a 40,000.
I'm going to object, and is there any debate on it? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, so this amendment offered goes back to the amendment we just passed in, as well as this amendment.
No. This is a different BRU doing with personnel. We just got out of telecommunications. It's in Department of Administration under personnel, and the BRU is under central and statewide services. What this particular amendment does is add $40,000 to take care of personal services.
That's correct. Mr. Chairman, if you look on the amendment we just passed, this shows last year's telecommunications showed, these are reductions, but it does show an increase of 50,000 over our original proposal for travel, and it was felt that this would be an area that we could possibly use for a transfer to personal services in this another component, another BRU.
Is there any debate on this? Roll call vote. No.
Boyer? Brown?
No.
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Gull?
No.
Larson?
No.
Pershow?
No.
Rieger?
Yes.
Blackhammer?
No.
Wallace?
No.
Motion fails. The next one we'll take up is going on to Department of Law. Did you want to explain it to you?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, when we were closing out the budget, and as we listened to all the various increments, it was our feeling that with the substantial cut that the Department of Law took, especially in prosecution, that and taking a look at the priorities, this is a restoration of some of those cuts that were originally made in the governor's budget. I'm referring primarily to the Sitka DA's office and to the Anchorage district attorney's office, and one attorney and a paralegal in Fairbanks. And we felt that the restoration of these funds would still keep. It's not a full restoration, it just keeps a bare minimal level of prosecution. And it was these areas that we felt were hit the hardest.
And also, one of the things is, in order to divide the question that members would like to do, is on the bottom one on the prosecution in the third judicial district, also with Dillingham, should have been up there on same components with prosecution. So that the chair will ask that it be divided in that particular fashion versus where the your little dots are there. So the prosecution all stay together.
So that means, Mr. Chairman, that means that as we divide the question, we are including number 1, page 6, number 2, page 10, number 3, page 12, number 4, page 10 in the first unit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Chair, is there a motion to divide?
There's no motion at this particular time, but that was one that was discussed.
Representative Frank?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. SWAC, on the how you added, or how are you arrived at your recommendation to bring these dollars back into the department, was it based upon the department's prioritization on a statewide basis, or how are we to gain comfort that this is where they need to be on a statewide basis, and so that we don't get parochial about it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Frank, that it's half and half. Basically, they did give us a priority list and how they would like to restore positions and money back into prosecution, and it also came from various testimony. It is not identical, but it follows generally where they would like to see the money reinstituted. White-collar crime, for instance, and narcotics was a higher priority for them, if you want to follow from top to bottom, for instance. But it fairly well follows their line of thinking. Representative Brown was on there. She may want to comment. That's my recollection.
Representative Brown, then Rieger.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This list reflects the top priorities both of the Department of Law and the municipality of Anchorage. It was a concern of the municipality that the misdemeanor crimes that are now prosecuted by the state will fall to the municipality if the budget stands as it is at present, and therefore it was a high priority for the city to be sure that, or to at least have some effort put forth by the state so that that entire burden would not fall to the municipality. Again, it's an unbudgeted, unplanned for expense, and the alternative is not to prosecute at all those types of crimes. So we are expressing a desire here to see the state continue to put effort in that direction. But we also recognize that the Department of Law has had a very large reduction in general, and that the resources, whatever additional resources are approved, will probably be, spread by them to the best of their ability to cover the workload.
If I could ask you then, on the misdemeanors in Fairbanks and the prosecution in Dillingham, how did those add-backs come into your recommendation?
Those were the highest requests of the Department of Law for positions in Fairbanks. And for the Sitka position came in, well, it's a long, complicated story, but it has to do with... talk about that one.
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Law, the SICA position was not as high as some of the others, as well as Dillingham. Those were the two areas that you were asking about. So that's why I made the statement that we took the recommendations and listened to the testimony and tried to melt that to come up with the best package that we could. But also comment that when we drafted the budget, we stayed within the governor's line, and the reason that we're putting this back in, as we're seeing other things added, I certainly think the Department of Law and prosecution in this state deserves a much higher priority than some of the things that we've seen come across so far.
Thank you.
Representative Fischel?
Yes.
On divide there.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we add back the increments depicted here on page 6, page 10, page 12, and the other reference on page 10 in the 3rd Judicial District prosecution.
Representative Rieger, there's a motion before you. There's objection. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I guess I didn't hear it. Did we leave out the increments on page 16 in that motion?
Divide the question.
We divide the question, yeah, and that's the second motion there.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Have you got page 12 in there?
Yes. Yes. Just go halfway down. His motion was 6, 10, 12, 10. Right down there. And then we're going to take up the second motion would be the page number 16. Yes?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move to amend the motion to add page 16, the increments listed on page 16 to the main motion to amend here.
You have an amendment to the amendment before you, and the amendment is to incorporate page number 16 into the main amendment. Roll call vote, please.
Adam?
No.
Boyer?
No.
Brown?
Yes.
Davis?
Could you restate the amendment, please?
The amendment to the amendment was to add page number 16, the bottom one, into the main amendment.
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Bell?
No.
Larson?
No.
Pershow?
No.
Rieger?
Yes.
Blackhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
No.
Motion fails. We have the only thing left to take up is the intent language that is in the bottom. And main amendment. I'm sorry.
Question.
Question has been called. We've got the main amendment before us, and that's basically
we
the.
We discussed 16, 12, and 10.
Roll call vote, please.
Adam?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Gall?
No.
Larson?
No.
Hershel?
Yes.
Rieger?
Yes.
Backhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. I'd just like to make a brief statement, if I may. I'd like to comment that I think we've got our priorities backwards here. Thank you.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman? Because procedure-wise, we haven't voted on page 16 yet. We just voted on whether it should be added or not. We haven't voted on it individually because we divided the questions.
If you want it, if you make them, yes.
Chair, I move that we add the increments on page 16 to HB 75.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you.
Apparently, I made a mistake in my last comment by not understanding what was happening. Could you explain to me what just occurred here? So that I can
withstand the embarrassment. I think I need the information. I appreciate your help.
Very slowly, there was a motion made. The first amendment was to add 6, 10, 12, and 10.
Right.
Then there was amendment to the amendment was made by Representative Rieger to incorporate page number 16. That particular failed. Then we adopted the main amendments, and that passed. Now, we're back to, there was a second motion here made by Representative Rieger to with putting in page number 16 back.
Yes,
in.
Sir. And I appreciate your helping us lower members keep track of what's going on here. Thank you, sir. Yes.
Any debate? Roll call vote, please.
Adam?
No.
Boyer?
No.
Brown?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Ball?
No.
Larson?
No.
Pershow?
No.
Rieger?
Yes.
Blackhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
No.
Motion fails. Now we have the intent language there that is before us. Is there any objection to the intent language? Representative Pershow.
Mr. Chairman, I was asked by some members to make a clarifying amendment to this, and I would move the intent language with this following correction. On the third line there where it says fully involved prior to any agreement, after the word agreement, insert the words by any state agency and then continue on the rest of the sentence. This would clarify that it's what we're talking about is a problem with other state agencies other than the AG's office entering into out-of-court settlements without fully involving the AG's office and resulting in some of the questions that we had over some of the supplementals this year.
And that was discussed in House Bill number 127. It was the one with the state and Siri, as we recall, on the floor. Is there any objections? One of the things that might happen is when we're printing the bill is the elimination of some intent language, and you can also honor, we'll look at those also at Conference Committee if we do forget them during this weekend. Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't mean to embarrass myself further, but I do need to apologize to the group and just say for the record, although I can't change my vote, I do support the funding of these misdemeanor prosecutors and appreciate putting that on the record.
One of the things that you might see also is intent language is that they can work on various other cases also, and so I'm waiting for that particular language to be drafted up by some member here. That can be done a little later or when we take the full budget before. So I just want you to know that I was expecting some type of intent language, and when we bring this budget back to us, I can accept it at that particular time. So people that were supposed to draft that up, please do so.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I guess while we're bearing our souls, I do support prosecution also. However, I having a hard time supporting any amendments on top of what we already have in the budget.
Okay. Here we are. Rips and Creek.
Well, I'm really amazed that people are saying that they voted against the amendments on page 16 because they can't support amendments generally after voting for the immediately preceding amendment. And I noticed that it was a strange division of the question. It did single out Anchorage. And I guess as long as we're bearing souls, I'll bear mine too there.
I don't think no intention to single out any municipality. It just happened where that particular component came in. Okay, continuing on, Department of Revenue, there's intent language. This is the second draft of the intent language. As you recall, we had one that the chair had asked Ripson Brown to pull back, and this is the one she worked out with the department. Ripson Brown?
Thank you. I think it's self-explanatory, and I don't have anything further to add unless there are questions from the members.
Question.
Is there any objection to adopting the intent language? Hearing none, so ordered. The next amendment is one that is Department of Health and Social Services. It's on the alcohol and drug abuse services. In the grant line items, it's a reduction of approximately 402 in general funds because of the fact that we're going to receive some federal funds. Representative Boyer?
Mr. Chairman, there's not a reduction in general funds. What it is just an increase in the federal receipts line because this was a technical amendment that came to me literally the day the budget was closing out, and the state had entered into an agreement with the federal government to receive some monies from the 1986 Anti-Drug Act in the number $402,700, and this just allows the federal receipt of that additional money.
Is there any objection to the adoption of this amendment? Hearing none, so ordered. Commerce and Economic Development.
Community and Mental Health.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
We skipped in some intent language there.
Okay. I don't have it before me. We do have some intent languages. I'll go on page number 202. It's sponsored by Rips and Wallace. I'm sorry, I don't have it on my particular sheet. I'm working off of it. It's intent language there in determining which programs are to receive suicide prevention grants. The department shall give priority consideration to grant recipients which serve communities with an extraordinary high suicide rate. And that's the intent language. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that intent language has been adopted. Going on to commerce and economic development, we have three different areas. We'll divide them. The first one happens to be in tourism. It adds approximately $1 million on to tourism. We presently have in the budget $7.2 million. And is there any motion before us?
A motion?
Yes.
I move the amendment. We need a motion.
Yes. I'll object. Is there any debate on this? And
I'll just make a positive statement about tourism, maintaining tourism's effort there and increasing the effort and what it'll do to the economy of the state and the creation of jobs. When we've got a bum economy, the jobs that tourism creates are generally in low pay and that sort of thing. And dollar spent here is returned back many times over.
There's probably all of us here agrees with you on the concept and but at this particular time, we're funding it with this 7.2. We're funding it at last year's level, and I think that's all level enough support tourism. But with the revenue projection, I think basically some of us will have to object to the motion. So at least we lay it before you.
I'd just like to comment briefly that although the subcommittee that I chaired offered this amendment, I'm not going to be supporting it. I've gone through and really done some soul searching about which of these many amendments I feel are justified at this point, and I think the 7.2 level, which is up about 550,000 above the governor's proposed level, is adequate given the fiscal situation and the state of the budget.
Question.
Question has been called for. Roll call vote, please.
Adams?
No.
Boyer?
No.
Brown?
No.
Davis?
No.
Frank?
Yes.
Wells?
No.
Parsons?
No.
Rochelle?
No.
Rieger?
Yes.
Beckhammer?
No.
Wallace?
No.
Motion fails. The next amendment you have is on power cost equalization.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I would move the addition to the intent amendment number intent number 7.
Is there any objection?
Object.
There's objection. Representative Rieger.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this is a correct type of intent. I know that there is a larger amount of tourism dollars expended by private operators and private, you know, of all sorts in the state than the state spends. I don't know what the exact number is, but I think it's probably several fold. And what I think this intent language asks them to do is to take more of their tourism budget and give it to the state for the state to decide how it should be spent, rather than the operators themselves deciding how it should be spent. And I don't know if that's correct, but that's how I read this. And I think that since there is so much money spent on tourism by the private industry as well, I'm not sure why we should ask them to divert that into a state-directed tourism effort. I think that the state does a good job supplementing their efforts.
Representative Call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that this intent is already in the budget, and the amendment that was being voted on in the intent is the underlined language that they'll submit a report.
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Chairman. The addition is to specify when and in what form the report's to be submitted, which is with the next budget request. Just briefly commenting on your point, Representative Rieger, it was the feeling of our subcommittee, and it was, I'd say, the unanimous feeling of our subcommittee, that the industry should bear a greater share of the cost of this program. And we would like to see the department look into and explore the ways that that might be accomplished. We are, I think, not collecting from all the businesses in Alaska that benefit from this, and that's one area that could be explored, and also other mechanisms. And I support the intent. I think it's appropriate for the department to investigate this area.
Representative Wallace?
No, I...
Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the main idea of the intent, I think the intent has some merit, but I think it's a more complicated endeavor than perhaps it may appear to be, because when you look at, you know, if you compare it to ASME, for example, and you say that, well, we're going to require ASME to support at least half of the effort, you can do a direct tax on the fish that are caught and that sort of thing. It's much harder to define and determine what the tourism industry is. Is it Joe's Restaurant and Big Ray's Surplus and every other business in this state? And is it the people? Is it just the cruise liners, or is it the 18 or 19,000 people that in some way work in the tourism industry? I think it's just a much more difficult task, and I would hope that our intent language would recognize that. And that we in the legislature would recognize that though it may be that a plan to increase the participation of the industry is laudable, that it's not quite as easy as some of our other industries in terms of getting a direct contribution.
Representative Brown.
Well, I think the subcommittee understands that and appreciates that. But still, I feel it's appropriate for the division. As you said, it's a complicated area, and we're asking the division to give some thought to this and come back with a recommendation.
Your objection still maintained?
Yes.
Roll call vote on the intent language, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Davis?
Yeah.
Frank?
No.
Well? Carson?
Yep.
Rochelle?
Yes.
Rieger?
No.
Backhammer?
Yep.
Wallace?
Yes.
The motion passes on the intent language. The next one you have is on par cost equalization.
Question.
There's no motion before us. Is there any discussion? That one failed. Next one, economic development. Is there a motion?
I move the motion.
There's a motion before us. There's objection.
Question.
Any debate? But I won't shut off debate on any of these things. Is there any debate? No debate? Call for the question.
Excuse me, Mr. Yes. I thought that there was going to... Is there going to be another amendment proposed on this particular issue?
On this particular issue?
Yes.
Unless it comes up by a different member? Yes.
There is an amendment in the supplemental amendment to the amendments packet. There's a second amendment. We'll just be getting to it. I guess you're going to take these in order? That
yes.
Well, I'd like... In other words, I have a difference of opinion with several people here on this particular issue. If there is a compromise reached in terms of a funding for this, I'd like to know before I vote this up or down.
Representative Swackhammer, I have proposed, and I don't find the supplemental amendment packet at the moment. Here it is. It's on page 2, at the top of page 2 of the supplemental amendment packet.
Page 90. Is that, Mr. Chairman?
Page 90, yes.
Yes, okay.
Question.
Did you have anything else?
Well,
we will be taking up the next one. Once we get done with this particular amendment, I do, then we'll go on to the next page, the measurement standards, and the APA CIP, then come back to the ASME, and the one on page number 90. So those are the order. I'm going to take these amendments up, Representative Swackhammer.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just a question. Then on page 90, on a personnel line where it says add 9, full-time and 2 part-time positions. And then on the amendment to the amendment packet, it says 5 full-time positions in relation to commercial fishery development. Are those 5 included in the 9?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, in the amendment, one of those is presently included in the House proposal of what's already in the budget. Does that answer your question?
The other 4 also have to do with commercial fisheries, isn't it?
Yes.
So a total of 5 of the 9 full-time were in that one department. Is that correct?
I didn't hear the end of your question.
Okay, going back to the main amendment that's before us now, it says to add 9 full-time and 2 part-time positions. And my question is those 5 people who are addressed in the amendments to the amendment included in these 9?
Yes. 4 of them are. Correction. 1 of them is already in the budget. I don't know if I'm
But none of them have to do with timber or minerals. They all have to do with commercial fisheries. Within the amendment to the amendment?
The amendment to the amendment were adopted, there would be 3 positions in the base budget that relate to mining and timber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Representative Frank?
Yeah, on that, though, your vision on page 90's amendment is just to add 5 people to commercial fishery development, not to add additional bodies to timber or minerals, correct?
That's correct.
Debate?
So in other words, we need to vote this amendment, the main amendment, up
We're on the one that is... Don't confuse me now.
That's right, Steve.
Yeah, we're debating the amendment that was moved by you. It's brought by the request of Representative Pierce. That is the particular amendment that's before us. We will also have another one that's going to come on economic development, which has been stated by Representative Brown there.
Okay, so I guess just to state it simply, if you believe in minerals and timber and fish, you vote for this one. If you only believe in fish, you wait till the next amendment.
Well put.
I didn't hear that, sir.
Representative Gill. Any discussion?
Question.
The amendment that we're voting on is the one by Brown by the request of Representative Pierce. Question has been called for. Roll call vote, please.
Yes.
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
No.
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Gault?
No.
Larson?
No.
Rochelle?
No.
Reber?
Yes.
Slackhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
No.
That particular motion fails. Let's continue on page number 90. It's staying with the same one. It's an amendment since we're on this particular subject. Why don't we go ahead and take that one up?
I'll move that amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any objection?
Object. Object for a question.
There's objection. The question, Representative Larson.
Sure. I guess I may be repeating myself, Mr. Chairman, but you know I was looking for a middle ground to this question here. But I guess what my question still is: if we were asking for 9, and now we're reaching a middle ground of only 5. Is that all of these 5 going to be with commercial fisheries and none of those 5 are going to booster or add to the mineral or the timber or the mining? I guess I'm kind of asking, what are we getting for this amendment?
What we're getting, Mr. Chairman, if I might, is a continuation at the current level or near the current level, of the personnel that are working in commercial fisheries development. Part, if this proposal is accepted along with the base budget, which already has been, we're getting a reduction of 3 divisions to 1, and there would be some savings of overhead and associated expenses with the directors that are being eliminated. And there's been a good bit of support expressed by various members in support of continuing the current level of effort for the commercial fish development. There are some specific programs going on that Commissioner Smith has spoken strongly in favor of, and it's on that basis that I offer this.
Further discussion, Representative Wallace.
I believe Paul Payton, who is the Director of Office of Commercial Fisheries Development, is in the audience with the question.
I think it's not basically the question. I think there are many members here that support commerce and economic development, but it's way of putting it in one particular commerce fisheries. I think some of us also support mineral development and for you, agriculture. But I mean some type of development here in which it goes to one specific. Does it have to be stated that it goes to commercial fisheries development?
Well, that's the proposal. That's my proposal.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Adam?
No.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Gall?
Of course not.
Larson?
Yes.
Rochelle?
No.
Bigger?
Yes.
Blackhammer?
Yes.
Wallace?
Yes.
Motion passes. That will be taken care of.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Okay, the other one we have that we did, there was one more in Commerce before we leave the subject. You had some intent language, I believe, Representative Brown. It's, is that correct? It's on the amendment to the amendment. It says $600,000 appropriation to the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute made on lines 11 from the general fund is conditional on the approval of the increase in seafood market assessment by a processor in the election conducted under Alaska Statute 1650.10.4.
Yes,
did we have that before?
We did. That's a technical request made by the drafters of the bill. You'll recall when we discussed this, this amendment was drafted to fit in the front section. They now decided it should be in the back section. So this is merely technical. It does not change the intent. But I do have one other intent to propose a slight change, and that's in the fourth intent on page 109. I'd like to change division to commissioner, so it would read on page 109, the fourth intent, the commissioner shall develop a plan to enhance tourism in rural Alaska. The plan shall be included with the fiscal year 1989 budget. And briefly, the explanation on that is that we would like the commissioner to oversee the development of this. There was a similar intent included with the department's budget in FY86. The Division of Tourism basically declined to investigate this area and saying that the program was dependent on maintaining neutrality and a balanced approach to all areas of the state. And for that reason, I think it would be appropriate to have the commissioner's involvement. I move that we change division to commissioner in the fourth intent on page 109.
Is there any objection to that change in the intent language? Hearing none, so... the last one in Commerce that we have is in measurement standards. That's in that particular component. Representative Brown.
Thank you. This is an increase in program receipts authorization. You'll recall that when we discussed this before, there was concern on the part of the committee that we would be closing down the Fairbanks Permit Office. The additional program receipts authorized would allow that office to stay open, and it is not an increase in general funds.
You move it?
I move it.
You object?
I object. Just a question. Is it in, are you telling them to increase the current license fees to pay for this, or just divert current license fees to pay for it?
It would require an increase in current license fees.
Yeah, $31,400 would be the license fees increase. No objection, so ordered. The last one we have down there is under the component of APA CIP positions there. It uses CIP receipts to take care of some positions there.
Yes.
Representative Brown?
Mr. Chairman, these are added at the request of Representative Gall. There is no increase in general funds. It will authorize the expenditure of previously appropriated capital monies for the two projects shown. I move the amendment.
Is there any objection? There are no objections, so ordered. One to Military and Veterans Affairs. This is by Representative Rieger. It basically reduced what we had in the budget of $7 million to about $6.1 million there, as stated there. And is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the amendment.
I object.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the new number of $6,000,001 is still higher than the average amount needed for disaster relief per year, and I know that the amendments that I had offered are kind of scattered throughout the various components, but this amendment is part of an increment-decrement package, which on balance is a net zero.
Yes, I've looked at it. Representative Wallace?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to remind the representative that the $5 million is for disaster relief, and the money that's in there is, the other money is for fire suppression across the state. It's really difficult to predict what kind of fires we're going to have and how much more money we're going to need. and I think it's important that we have some fire suppression money in there. If history repeats itself, our state is going to be in flames again, and I think we just need to have that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion, Representative Frank?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to oppose this amendment because we're not directly relating it to the other amendments that Representative Rieger was going to offer or is offering. And when we decrease something like this that is really a reserve, it tends to understate our actual spending. And I don't choose to do that, so that's why I'm going to vote against the amendment.
Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
No.
Boyer?
No.
Brown?
No.
Davis?
No.
Frank?
No.
Ball?
No.
Larson?
No.
Rochelle?
No.
Rieger?
Yes.
Blackhammer?
No.
Wallace?
No.
Motion fails. That takes care of that one. The next one is on natural resources. We're back to agriculture management. The first one I see in there, we're talking about making a miscellaneous reduction of approximately $331,000. Representative Brown, this would eliminate some positions, and it has some intent language that follows.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the amendment.
Is there any objection?
Oh, sorry.
There's objection. Okay. Representative Brown, we discussed this earlier, and I will come.